for letting me share the word. And a couple months ago, I was listening to a Dr. Werwell teaching on the integrity of the word. And I'm sure some of us have heard this phrase before, man's basic spiritual problem is the integrity of the word. And I thought about that, and I listened to his teaching over and over and over again. And for some reason in my mind, I had always thought integrity of the word to me, this is stupid, and you can say, Dolores, that's stupid, and I'll understand, is that it means what day did Jesus Christ die? How many were crucified? Are the dead alive now? I didn't think of the integrity of the word in my everyday life. And that's what that, when listening to it over and over again, I thought, you know, that's, I think, what Dr. Werwell's like teaching here. Like, I got to protect the integrity of the word in my everyday life. So I started working it, and that's what I'm going to share about today, the integrity of the word. And we can never allow the integrity of the word to be threatened or tested in our everyday life. We have to protect it, like that Under Armour thing. Protect this house. That's what we have to do. We have to protect the word of God in our own lives. So when we question who we are as children of God, or when we condemn ourselves, what are we doing? We're questioning the integrity of the word of God. And that was like a slap across the face. Well, I didn't think of it that way. So that's what I wanted to share more about. So integrity applies to the quality or state of being complete or undivided. It assures accuracy, it's unbroken, unimpaired, it's consistent, honest, wholeness, or complete. So when we doubt the completeness of the word or the consistency of it, that's a problem. Remember the phrase, the word said it, that settles it? That's the integrity of the word. So I want you to go to Psalm 12. I'm already there. In verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And many of us took a class here called Power for Abundant Living, and we heard this verse taught, and how silver is tried, it's fired seven times, and it gets all the impurities out of it. And I thought, well, that's really cool. The words of the Lord of God will not cheat, they won't lie to you, and they won't break. And so I thought, let me look at this word purified a little bit more. So if you go to Malachi, and that's why I'm in this Bible that I have today. I usually teach from my old Bible, but for some reason I don't have Malachi in there. It fell out or something over the years. So I had to go to my new Bible, and I'm not used to it. Yeah, the whole book. Either that or my dogs ate it. Malachi 3, verse 2 and 3. It says, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And for those of you who are a little around my age, remember that Fuller Soap? Remember that company? And I thought, oh, I wonder if that's where they got the name from, Fuller Soap. It's just a little tidbit. And he shall sit as a refiner. Okay, so the Lord shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So the Lord will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. So I wanted to look at that word. And purified means to refine, clarify, or strained. Okay, it's where they're burning the silver, and all the impurities are washed and just falls to the ground, and it's removed. That's what God is saying about his word. It has no impurities. It's a pure word. We can trust it. Okay, now, as I started to look at this word, at the word purified, I found this article, and it was the first article that I found on it, and it just really blessed me so much. I'm not saying this is, it's a story. It's not like a true, you know, it's this little story. There was a group of women in a Bible study on the book of Malachi, and they were studying chapter 3. They came across verse 3, which says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what the statement meant about the character and nature of God. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their Bible study. That week, this woman called up the silversmith and made an appointment to watch him work. She didn't mention why she was coming there. And as she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it were true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered that yes, he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Why does this get me?" "Oh, that's easy, when I see my image in it." So that's what God's saying. That's when we're refined, when we put the word of God on. And the more we put it on, God sees his image in us. That's what he's supposed to. He's supposed to see our image in us. So remember, God has his eye on you, and he'll keep watching you until he sees his image in you. That's the integrity of the word. No matter the promises in the word that are here, God doesn't write them just for the heck of it, so you can throw it away like you do your newspapers or something, if you even read newspapers anymore. But it's here for a purpose. God's words are pure. There's a purpose to them. And we have the job of knowing that word. And a job, we have the privilege of knowing that word, but the job of holding it foremost in our lives. So before I go on, I have a little box that I want you all to take of. And when you think of in your life, you have relationships, and you think about your relationship with God. Now, you think of a close friend or your husband or wife. Chuck doesn't say to me, "Well, I'm Dolores' husband only on the day she's happy." He doesn't say that. He might want to say that, but he says it. He doesn't say that. He better not say that. And that's how it is with God. God doesn't say, "Once you believe my word, that's it. You're happy for the rest of your life and nothing's ever going to go wrong." I didn't find that verse anywhere in the scriptures. But the more you go through with him, the ups and downs and everything, and you know that integrity of the word, you know that word can't cheat or lie on you, that builds a relationship. So I want everybody to take a little piece of paper out of here. There's a verse on it. As I was doing this, I kept reading Psalm 119. I read it very many times, listened to it, and it's something I encourage you all to read. But now take your papers, but don't look at them yet. Okay, look at them, your heads will fall. Wow.
One?
Yeah. Oh, I see. Wow. Yeah. Look at them. Wait a minute. Yeah, John, you just pass it down. Wait, and I got to pick one for Lynn. Lynn, I picked you a verse. But I can't look at it yet or my head will fall off. And I'll be in trouble. And then we're going to go to Psalm 119. And then we'll look at them in a minute. But in Psalm 119, verse 15. I'm going to read 15 to 18. It says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to open our eyes to his word and to behold the wondrous things. And that word wondrous means extraordinary things beyond one's power. That's what God wants us to look at. He wants us to look into his word so we can see the wondrous powers that are there for us. So now look at your paper. And Lynn, I have a paper for you. And yours, I'll read you what your verse is. Psalm 119, oh, you got a good one, 133. "Order my steps in thy word, and let not thine any iniquity have dominion over me." What I want you to do with these little papers, and this, I really want you to do this, because I'm telling you to test God, dare God, whatever, because God wants us to know that we can hold on to his promises. But we did this in our fellowship, and I told everybody to carry this with you for a week. Just carry it with you. Memorize it. For some reason, I had a hard time memorizing my verse, but I did. I always had it in my pocket. I know Chuck always had his in his pocket. I want to tell you, my daughter has a lot of financial issues, and she needed a car so bad. And we didn't know how she was going to get it, because how is she going to get credit? Nobody's going to want her. Believe me, there's a lot of issues there. So this was this week. She had her little paper in her pocket or wherever she kept it, probably in her lipstick thing. But she called me up and she said, will you take me up to Easton, PA? There's a car up there that I want to see. I'm like, all right. You know, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how is she ever going to get this credit? I don't know how she got it, but she got this credit. I'm telling you, that is a big deal. Because I even offered to co-sign for her and everything, and she said, no, I'm going to do it on my own. I want to do this on my own. I got to straighten my credit out, blah, blah, blah. And she got it. And I know, because I know it was that she was really believing that verse that was hers. And I don't even know which one was hers. But that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to just pick this up on Sundays when we come here and listen to who's ever sharing the word. He wants us to look intently into his word. And when we do, we see results. We'll definitely see more results. So carry that little thing with you all the time. And when things get tough, just look at your verse and let God deliver you. In Jeremiah 15, you can go there. Verse 16. I think we're familiar with this verse too. It says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, we know that he didn't physically eat the words, but the words were the joy and rejoicing of his heart. Dr. Werrell always taught you have to have joy first before you can have rejoicing. So that takes a little bit of intent look at it. You have to really believe in the integrity of the word. And then it's we'll have to truly believe in the perfectness of his word and be intent on keeping it foremost in our lives. And we will experience it. In Psalm 138, I want you to go there. In verses 2 and 3, it said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Bless you. Now, so many times we read this verse and we hear this verse and we know that God has magnified. He made his word is above all his name. But let's look at the next verse. In the day when I cried out, thou answereth me and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. Nick shared last week about crying out unto the Lord. And it says, I have to look at my paper here. It will strengthen you. That's two different words. It says, he strengtheneth me, which is to make sure or strong. And then strength means, I think this is really cool, and I think this is where we have to call Trump and tell him this verse. Because it says it will give you mighty strength in various applications of your life, material, physical, personal, social, or political. So what are you lacking there? You're pretty much covered. God is saying, I will strengthen you. Cry out to me, and I will answer you, and I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you with only the strength God can give. Okay, so now go to 1 Peter. When Reverend Petty was here, he made a statement that said, and I have this in a couple of places, stuck up on the walls in my rooms and whatnot. It says, to pray is the acknowledgement that God is greater than you. To not pray is thinking you can do it yourself. When I heard that, I don't know, it just was like, wow, that's like pretty good. Because, we think of praying, okay, well, every morning you pray or whatever. But no, in every instance of your life. Now, I got to tell you this quick story. This was not in my teaching, but I'll add it in. All right, I was rearranging your guest room in my house. I was changing one room to the other, so I was moving furniture. And this one piece of furniture that was in a closet, really, it's probably 6 foot tall. It's a good foot over my head. I wanted to take it down the basement. Now, nobody was home but me and the dogs. And I thought, how am I going to get this down the basement? But I knew once I got it in my head that I was taking it down the basement. I was taking it down. And it was probably about this wide, maybe not quite, but definitely 6 foot tall and heavy. So I'm like, I started praying. I'm like, all right, God, how can I do this? But the bottom line is I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to go flying down the basement steps after it. Blah, blah, blah. So I got this idea. Now, you movers, anybody that move, you'll really like this. And you can use this idea. I didn't patent it. There's a sofa down the basement. I took the big cushion off the sofa and I put it at the bottom of the steps. So I thought, okay, that stops it from smashing up if it falls down the steps. So then I get the thing, I lay it flat on its back, and I'm holding it by the legs. And I'm at the top of the steps, and I'm like, oh, I don't know about this. And I'm talking to God, I'm like, God, this just doesn't seem right. I picture myself going over the cabinet. Sit down. I sat down. I had that thing down there in like a minute. I was shocked. Never even needed the pillow because it just went down so easily. I started laughing. I'm like, well, that was pretty good. I'm talking to God, I wasn't expecting that one to go so easy. And I was like so thankful that I didn't get hurt. But now here comes the devil. About 20 minutes later, what the heck do I want to call it? Just a little board. I can't think of the serving tray or whatever. A wooden serving tray. It's on a chair, and I pull the chair, and the serving tray comes through the back of the chair onto my toe. Blood everywhere. And I'm like, darn it. You know, the devil had to get me some way. Like, I was so, like, I felt so empowered after getting that thing down there. But here comes the devil. But you know what? My toe doesn't hurt, and that's all that matters. So, I think it's verse 5. We're going to start in verse 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Did I get to say something wrong? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 5:5. So here God tells us to be clothed with humility. So I'm going to take apart these next couple verses. And to clothe, the word for clothed means a knot or a band by which two things are fastened together. It also refers to the white scarf or apron of slaves, which was fastened to the belt of the vest, which distinguished them from free men. And also it refers to the overalls which slaves wore to keep clean while working. It was an exceedingly humbling garment. So that's what God is telling us to be clothed in, to be clothed, you know, to have this cloth on us with humility. And humility, if you think of it, it means to bring down low. You just bring yourself down low. Just like you need to acknowledge God. You need to know that it's not you that does it, it's God that does it. That's the humility. And then what will He do? You're down low. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And when the mighty hand of God is used, it shows His power and strength. So humble yourselves. You're down there. What's He going to do? He's going to lift you up, that He may exalt you in due time. That's like such a huge verse of Scripture there. Like, humble yourselves. Like, God, I can't do it. Like Nick said last week, cry out. Just cry out to the Lord. You don't have to be crying, but cry out. God, I need some help here. You know, and He will exalt you in due. He'll exalt you in due time. In verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And this verse, sort of, you can go there or not. I'll go there and read it, or keep your finger here because we're coming back. Hebrews 4:16. This verse reminded me of Hebrews 4:16. I can probably say it, but I might mess it up, so. If I can find it. Almost. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find peace in time of help. That's what God's saying. Come boldly unto me. Cast your cares down. I, for some reason, get a mind picture of some guy, maybe it's Santa Claus, I don't know, but with a big sack on his back, and he cast it down. Or you cast that fishing pole out. There's effort and there's strength in that. So you have to take the time. Think of the phrase, let go and let God. You have to let go. You have to cast it out. Cast your cares. And that word cares, I have it written here somewhere. I have all these little things. Is your anxieties, your distractions. Cast all them upon God. For he careth, and that's a different careth, for he's concerned about you. So just like he's saying, come boldly unto the throne, and I'll take care of you. Cast all your cares upon him, because he careth for you. Verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So he wants us to be calm and collected. He wants us to watch, to be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, your adversary, your opponent, so you have an opponent in this world, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. If you go to the zoo and you're in front of the lion's cage, what's he doing? He's pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth. When he's walking, it's that walk means to tread all around, showing proof of his ability. That's what the adversary is doing every day. He's just walking all around, seeking whom he may devour. But it says he's a roaring lion, and that lion can't bite you as long as he's roaring. He cannot bite you as long as he's roaring. He has to stop roaring to bite you. So if we're vigilant and we're sober, if we're calm, cool, collected, and we take heed to the Word of God and stand strong on it and uphold the integrity of the Word of God in our lives, he can't bite us. He can roar all he wants, but he can't destroy us. We got God in Christ in us, and we got the hope. And that devour means to swallow up. He's not swallowing me up. He might sip on me here and there, but he's not swallowing me up. Whom resists steadfast, stand against. I know I shared this before. Like if somebody's trying to get in your door and you don't want them, you're not going to say, oh, come on in. You're going to stand against it. You're going to oppose it. That's what we need to do with the devil. And resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished or brought to an end. These same afflictions are brought to an end in each other. That's why we need each other. Okay, maybe I'm sick, or maybe, you know, we can share with each other our ups and downs, and that's what helps our believing. That's what helps us uphold as a family also the integrity of the Word. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And when Carmen was talking about when Christ comes back, you know what that while, after you suffered a while, that while is puny. After you suffered for a little time, a puny little bit of time. That's what this life is, a puny little bit of time. God's going to establish us. He's going to settle us. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So get the Word of God. Look at it intently in your life. Make sure you always know that you have to protect the integrity of the Word. And don't let that devil come around. You know, let him roar all he wants, but don't let him bite you. And the more we experience God's Word in our lives, the less we'll doubt the integrity of it. Our experiences will be just like a snowball rolling down the hill. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more we see God, the more excited we'll get. In my work, we have nurses of all different ages. And, you know, some of we have a lot of new nurses in our ER. And they all have their BSNs and CENs and QRNs and PRNs and all this. And they just want everybody to have it. Well, I'm not about to do that now at this stage of my life. So they got my experience, which the BSN doesn't have, this new BSN. And the one day, the one girl came up to us. There was two, me and another older nurse, sitting there or standing there. And she said, you know that medicine that I had hanging on bed 4? It just ran out. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, what was it? And it's this medicine, Cardine, and it works very quickly on blood pressure. And so the person is usually on it if they're really having a blood pressure problem. So I said, well, you don't let it run out, that's for darn sure. And like, she would have never learned that in her books. It's the experiences. And that's how you learn and you grow, through experiences. And that's what you have to have with God. You have to have the ups and downs and all that stuff. You have to experience God in your life. Because the more you do, the more exciting it is. So, speaking of snowballs, when I was putting this together, I started thinking of the four seasons. And I started thinking how, okay, what comes after summer? Everybody knows the answer. Can you change that? No, you can't change it, no matter how hard you try, think, or pray about it. You cannot change it. And then after fall comes winter. And each season has a specialty about it. Look at, let's start with spring. Let's start with winter. One of the reasons I don't like winter is because all the trees are bare. Okay? But they're still there, they're trees, you know, but they're bare and they're dark. But then comes spring. And all the buds come out. And oh, it's starting to look pretty. And then you got summer and everybody's out and the flowers are in bloom. And then you have fall, and it starts all over again. And fall's beautiful. Each season holds something special. But no matter what we do, we can't change that. We can't. Maybe the temperatures will be a little different. Maybe you won't have so much snow in the winter. But we cannot change the seasons. I can't make 3 o'clock come before 2 o'clock. And that's how it is with God's Word. God's Word is that faithful. It's that purified Word, and it's that faithful. And so is God's love to you in your life. So go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. In verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't even know how I came about putting this verse in this, because when I shared it at my fellowship, I didn't have this teaching in there, I mean this verse in there. But I put it in here, and I looked up the word approved. And approved is the Greek word doikomos, D-O-K-I-M-O-S. And when I was, I got to look at my other paper. When I was looking at it, I'm thinking, it says, accepted, acceptable, pleasing, particularly of coins and money. And I thought, what the heck does standing approved before God have to do with coins and money? Well, do you think God's going to put a word in there that doesn't have some kind of little great meaning to it, or just bless us, or just fit into this teaching for me? It says, in the time of the Apostle Paul, the current bank system did not exist. And coins were made with metal. The metal was melted down and poured into a mold. I think I have a little melting thing going on here today with the silver. I didn't think of that. After the removal from the mold, the surplus was taken off by polishing the coins. However, some people took off more metal than they should to produce more coins and satisfy their greedy needs. Very few trusty money changers, or doikomos, rejected the fake coins and put into circulation those with the correct weight. They were called doikomos, which means approved or proven. So they stopped the counterfeit. They stopped the counterfeit money. Maybe that's what we have to do, stop the counterfeit. We have to uphold, it's not maybe, it's what we have to do, uphold the integrity of the word, but most important in our lives. Okay? So, let me see, where am I? Now, I know every time that I teach the word, I always have a dog story to tell. And I really had problems because I didn't have a dog story, but I finally got one. I finally came up with one. So, we have to remember to always look intently at God's word and not to be ashamed And we won't have to be ashamed, because God's word is unbroken. It won't cheat or lie on you. It has integrity. And so I want to tell you, as I rearranged these two rooms the other day, you would have thought, like, I don't know, a catastrophe would happen in our house. My dogs were so displaced, because the one room has their futon in it. It's the piece of furniture that they're allowed to lay on. It's a big, you know, regular futon. And I just call it the futon room. Well, I switched rooms. They didn't know what to do. They were so uncomfortable because I took away their habit. I took away their comfort. I took away what made them feel good. And that's what God's word is for us. And whether we, like, there's times in our lives when maybe we're not feeling just right and everything. It's probably because we're not doing what we know we need to do in God's word. God's word is our comfort. It's always there for us, just like the season. It's never going to go anywhere. It's us, me, O Lord, that has to go to the word. So that's what we have to do for the integrity of the word. Uphold it in our lives. So my dogs, I'll tell you what I did. My dogs are spoiled. I slept with them the one night, the next night. I said, come on, guys. This is our new doggy room now. So now, after we slept in that room, now they're comfortable in their futon. So all is well, and they're back to their futon. But I'm not going to go there. But Ephesians 5:15 is one of my favorite verses. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means one foot after the other, after the other, after the other. And that's the only thing that we can do. That is the one thing we have to do. And it just lines up with everything that I shared here so far. To keep the integrity of the word, we just have to walk and walk on the word of God. Walk on the word. And the more we experience God, just think of one time in your life where you experience God and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that that was God. Y'all remember it. And it was an exciting time. Why don't you want that every day in your life? Why don't I want that every day in our lives? Because that little roaring lion is roaring. But we can stop that with the word as we put the more we put the word on. So now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but it as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There's a lot to be said in that verse there. We thank God without ceasing. We receive the word of God. Darn it, there's something I wanted. Maybe it's in this verse. I feel like I missed something, but we'll get it. We receive the word of God. We received it not as the word of men, but it as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. Hang on one second. If I'm not mistaken, that word worketh. Well, the effectually means to put forth power. When we reach out to God, He will be there. He will be there for us. But that worketh, now I don't want to say it because I might be wrong, so forget it. If it comes to me in the next few minutes, I'll bring it back to you. But God is not going to call us and leave us hanging. He called us by name to be a part of His family. His power works effectually in us each and every day, in times that we may not see it, but we need to strive to see it so that we can uphold the integrity of the word in our lives. So it never says in the word that we're not going to go through trials, but just like the seasons, God is going to be there. He's faithful. We can't let that lion scare us. I remember a while ago I taught about Hannah and that Penaniah, that I can't think of the guy's name, but the other wife. She was always just picking and picking and picking at Hannah. That's our pen, you know, what's your Penaniah in your life? You can't allow somebody to just, or something, to just keep picking and picking and picking you and get you angry or distract you from the, or let the cares in this, of this life distract us from God. We can't do that. But the more we put on the word, The more intently we look at the Word, that's how we get out of that. We can and need to keep God's Word first in our lives and never forget for a second that it's God and Christ in you. We have to stand firm and not allow the Word to be compromised in our lives. We have to protect the integrity of the Word, most importantly, in our own lives. And before I close, I want to just read that last bit of this again, this little story. So we want to uphold the integrity of the Word. And this, Nick, you missed this, but this is about the word purified. It says, "The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, 'How do you know when the silver is fully refined?' He smiled at her and answered, 'Oh, that's easy when I see my image in it. Remember that that God has his eye on you, and he will keep watching each and every one of you until he sees his image in you.'" And that by doing that, when he sees his image in you, you know that you've protected the integrity of the Word. So that was my sharing for today.